Good morning, Texas. Welcome to Justice for All, the Wyatt Wright Show. I'm Wyatt Wright, and this show's about our rights and the laws that govern us. Laws you've heard about and care about and would certainly miss if they were gone. I've spent half a lifetime watching government go from trying to do what's right and failing to trying to do what's wrong and succeeding. Every year, more and more of our personal rights are erased from the books while Americans, well, we stand idly by, and it's not because we don't care. Of course we care. But we're busy enough dealing with our life, raising our kids, feeding our families. And the entire time, the metaphorical water temperature is rising all around us, like that frog who gets boiled without ever knowing it. On this show, we discuss the legal issues that affect you and me, the people of Texas. We'll take a hard look at the laws that affect your freedom, your ability to access the courts, to vote, to speak freely, or in short, to live that American dream we all love so much. Stick around. Today, we'll be joined by the president of the League of Women Voters of Texas, Dr. Linda Krefting, who will help us explore what is going on with the recent increase in, well, establishing barriers to the polls. Let's jump right in and get wet. We're going to talk about something you should be very concerned about. A dozen states in 2011, a dozen states implemented laws designed to impede voters getting to the ballot box. This is a widespread, deliberate effort to discourage or prevent millions of voters from getting to the polls. Elderly, students, minorities, immigrants, veterans. Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown pointed out that rather than protecting the right to vote, we are seeing a brazen attempt around the country to undermine it. Right here in Texas, we had a horrible law enacted. It required hurdles, extra hurdles, to prove one's identity. Thankfully, that law has been temporarily blocked. Our leaders said that these measures were needed to eliminate widespread voter fraud. Really? I'm an attorney, and prior to that, I was a police officer. I've never seen any arrests for voter fraud. U.S. Representative John Lewis recently explained to Congress, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a deliberate and systematic attempt, again, to prevent access to the courts. This is shameful, but wait. U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, he explained it all. He claimed that the attacks of 9/11 justify the voter ID laws, claiming that all of the hijackers, five or six of them, had fake IDs. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is the argument that six men committed horrible acts of terror. And right before they did that, they swung by and stopped by the local precinct and inappropriately voted in a what? School board election? That's the argument? Really? Of course they had fake IDs. They were terrorists who had decided that they were going to commit horrible acts of violence. And this supports a voter ID law. How? It's already against the law in all 50 states to have a fake ID. Numerous studies make it clear. Impersonation at the voting booth is virtually non-existent in America. But not so fast. Proponents claim that, oh, there's voter fraud. There's definitely voter fraud, but we've chosen not to prosecute it. Well, why the blazes not? I thought it was a serious problem, a virtual pandemic. Let me get this straight. We have widespread voter fraud in the U.S., but we have absolutely no credible study saying that that's the case. President Bush's five-year federal investigation didn't prosecute a single person for impersonating another at the polls. The 9/11 hijackers had fake IDs. By the way, so do half of all 20-year-olds in America. And it's such a huge problem that even though it really exists, we just chose not to prosecute it. Gee, I wonder why this widespread problem is such a priority now. Is it a coincidence that it's just in time for the 2012 elections? The right to vote, it's very important. And we're letting the mega corporations with huge bank accounts dictate the voting laws in our state and in other states in America. But look at our history. In 1870, the 15th Amendment, we prohibited discrimination on race. Then the 19th Amendment, we prohibited discrimination on sex. The 24th Amendment, poll taxes were prohibited. The 26th Amendment in 1971 extended the vote to 18-year-olds. We've done away with literacy tests. Cases have addressed whether your wealth matters, whether your residency matters, whether you have to own real estate. We've come so far as a country, ladies and gentlemen. The theme? We've spent the last century removing obstacles to the ballot box, and now the legislature's adding obstacles. If you've just tuned in, just a reminder that you're listening to Justice for All, the Wyatt Wright Show. So we're making it tougher to register, and we're going to talk about that today. Rock the Vote, League of Women Voters, they do great work, and they try to get people registered to vote. But they were so successful in Florida that Florida recently passed a law that now requires all people who register others to turn in registration forms within 48 hours and fill out paperwork that's very bureaucratic, full of red tape. If they don't, it's a felony. So people that are trying to be civically minded and encourage votes have to be worried. They have to look over their shoulder. But don't forget, the claim was that these laws were needed to prevent further instances of widespread voter fraud. We've slashed early voting dates across the country. Shortened them in Florida from 14 to 8 days. Ohio from 35 to 11 days. And we banned early voting on Sundays in before the election in some of these states. So people have to take off work to go vote. Ladies and gentlemen, the real problem with elections in America isn't voter fraud. It's the abysmally low voter turnout at the polls. We should be encouraging voting, not finding ways to stifle the opinions of people who, well, might disagree with those in power. We need help on this topic. Let's reach out and get an expert. Joining us today on the show is Dr. Linda Krefting. She's president of the League of Women Voters here in Texas. She has been on that board and served in other roles as well, including also being the issue chair for election law and voting rights. Dr. Krefting is a retired professor of human resource management at Texas Tech University's College of Business, and she holds her PhD in industrial relations. Dr. Krefting, thank you for joining us on the Wyatt Wright Show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I think you're addressing an incredibly important topic now in Texas.
Well, yeah, and I think so too. And I'll bet you that if we went out on the street right here in front of the studio and pulled five people in and asked them, they'd say the same thing. First of all, the thing that's on everybody's mind is voter ID in Texas. I mean, we've been told now since the legislature ended in July of 2011 that you better gear up. You need specialized ID. And a lot of folks were scared that they were going to be harassed at the polls. Where do we stand now with that law?
That law required federal approval to go into effect. The Department of Justice refused to give approval in March, and the D.C. District Court refused to give approval to that law at the end of August. And so that photo ID requirement is not going to be in effect for November.
Okay, that's not in effect, and that's something important that we've got to get the word out to folks, is to let them know, look, we're back to the law that was in existence before that. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
All right, so when it comes time to vote, if you're a registered voter, go down and vote. If you're not registered, get registered in time and follow the appropriate procedures and get down there and vote to your heart's content. Now, I'm wondering what all this means to us in Texas. And I want to get your perspective. Take us down the road a little bit, because in contrast to the voter ID law, I understand that there's also another lawsuit that was pending in Galveston in the Project Vote matter. Can you explain the differences there and tell me what we're faced in Texas when it comes to voting law frustration right now?
Okay. The Galveston suit was about new requirements on volunteer deputy registrars. Those are people like the League of Women Voters who go get deputized by their local elections administrator and then go out and help people register to vote.
So that's what, and tell us what League of Women Voters, what your mission is.
Okay. League of Women Voters was formed in 1919 in Texas, 1920 nationally, when women got the right to vote. And what the League was formed to do was to say, now that we have the right to vote, we have an obligation both to exercise that right and to be informed when we go do it.
Certainly.
So encouraging active and informed participation in government has been the mission of the League of Women Voters ever since women got the right to vote.
Okay, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just heard you give that description, and nowhere in there did I hear that you are a Republican organization or a Democratic organization. In fact, you sounded very nonpartisan and instead very civic-minded. Did I get that right?
Oh, you got that absolutely right. The League never supports or opposes any political party or candidate.
Because there's no dog in the hunt here. This is simply what we all learned in civics or social studies history class: go out, participate in the franchise of voting in America. Is that it?
That's it.
Got it. So why does everybody hate you? Why does Texas hate you? Why are we trying to put you out of business? And why did the Florida legislature try and put you out of business too?
Well, there have been concerns about some groups that do volunteer deputy registration. Whether those concerns are legitimate or not, they, for the most part, they don't impact the League of Women Voters. I mean, so the laws in Texas, the laws passed by the last legislature in Texas require that you be a Texas citizen eligible to vote in Texas before you can be a volunteer deputy registrar.
So wait a minute. So let me get this straight. If I want to cross state lines because I want to help get people motivated to vote in a national election like that for president, I can't come into Texas and pitch a hand?
Well, you can't do it as a volunteer deputy registrar. Uh-huh. There are other ways in which you might be able to work for a party,
sure.
Or hand out registration certificates, but you cannot personally be deputized and then as a deputy registrar voter.
Well, okay, so here we've got this now, and what I'm wondering is, shouldn't a state, and I'm not just talking about Texas, it seems to me that government ought to be encouraging more registered voters. I mean, government exists because of the voters, isn't working against that goal, rather contrary to what I'm thinking our system of government really is.
Well, League of Women Voters believes that there is an important role for government in maintaining the security of the ballot box and the security of voter registration rolls. So we think that is important. We don't think those things are under threat.
Yeah. No,
so we don't think new regulations are necessary.
Got it. And that makes sense. I mean, look, we look around the world. We see the difficulties in emerging states, and I don't mean American states. I mean states around the globe trying to protect the ballot box, trying to enfranchise people, give them the confidence to be able to vote without being harassed, et cetera. I mean, that's such a delicate and priceless thing. It just seems backwards then for us to be fighting against that type of access here in Texas. The Attorney General, if I'm not mistaken, in Texas has announced that he is appealing or will continue the fight, rather, against the voter ID law, in support of it, rather. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. And that fight's going on in two ways right now.
Okay.
First one is, he is appealing to the Supreme Court the decision not to give federal approval to implementation of the law. That's part one.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, when they filed suit in the D.C. court for preclearance of the law, they also challenged the provisions of the Voting Rights Act that required states like Texas that have a history of discrimination to obtain approval before
Certainly.
Implementing these rules. And that's going to proceed in the D.C. court. Briefs are scheduled throughout October. They have not scheduled a trial on that case.
Okay. And just a reminder, you're listening to the Wyatt Wright Show. On this show, we point out and discuss the ever-increasing disappearance of our American rights. Now, you mentioned that the Attorney General is proceeding with those cases, for instance, in D.C. Now, this stuff isn't cheap. I mean, proceeding with a case, it costs money, and I'm assuming that the state of Texas is paying for that.
So far, right. The bill is up over $2 million,
$2 million. Okay. $2 million to try and change the access rules to the ballot box in Texas.
Yeah, that it probably includes the redistricting challenge as well, but we consider those also important voting rights cases.
Yeah, well, they seem to go hand in hand because not only do you have to worry about who goes and pulls the lever, you got to worry about who's on the ticket.
And what district you get put in and who else
Certainly.
Is there and why they got put there.
That's something. Now, tell me if you can, give me some ideas about what's going on in Texas from the turnout perspective. Are folks going to be turning out in the same types of numbers in the 30% of eligible voters, that we've seen in the past? Or is I want to say the onus of the voter ID law still sitting over folks, and that's going to really, really make that number even lower.
Well, we think this whole year in Texas has been a confusing one.
Sure it has.
For voters, and it's been quite a challenge to figure out what's going on and when it's going on. In Texas, the voter turnout in 2010 in the state elections was about 32% of the voter eligible population.
Mm-hmm.
That was the lowest turnout of any state in the nation.
The lowest turnout in the United States was in Texas.
Yep, unfortunately.
And hasn't our population now gotten to the point where the ethnicities have changed such that Hispanics tend to be in the majority in Texas?
Well, certainly it's a majority-minority state in terms of voter turnout.
Okay.
Or population. We've got large population growth, and the large population growth tends to be amongst groups that have not had high participation rates in the past. We've got a burden in terms of trying to encourage everybody to get registered and out to vote.
So of this 32% that goes out and vote, is that 32% representative of the demographics of the state?
No, it's disproportionately white.
It's disproportionately white. Okay, what's going on? Any ideas? Any thoughts? I mean, you know, it's funny because as we were preparing to get ready for the show today, there's an article that came out yesterday in the Texas Observer, folks. You need to go or came out a couple of days ago, actually, in the Texas Observer. I think it was on Thursday of last week. And they talked about this low voter turnout deal and what is going on in Texas. Have you had a chance to look at that one?
Yes, I did.
It's a heck of an article. I mean, I started reading that, and I started realizing that we're dealing with more than one issue when it comes to motivating people and getting them out to the polls. But predominantly, there is this theme that how is voting going to be easy for me? I mean, how can I not interrupt my day? Look, I work 60 hours a week as it is. I've got two jobs. We've got one car in the family. We share it. You know, it seems like from a logistics standpoint, that's a big issue to folks.
It's a big issue to a lot of folks. And if you're one of them, you understand those issues. And if you're not the one working 60 hours a week, I happen to be retired. I work 60 hours a week as a volunteer. But
So you've got plenty of time to go vote 3-4 times.
That's right. But yeah. I usually only do it once.
You usually do. I'm glad to hear that because that's the way it ought to be done. But, you know, getting folks, and I wonder if the primaries in Texas have gotten folks stirred up. And I know that in some areas of the state, Bexar County and some South Texas areas and in other parts of the state, too, that there were such heated primaries that there was a large turnout at the polls. And I know that there are many folks who frankly think, okay, I already voted. I must be done for the year.
Yeah, well, and part of the problem was the primaries were so much later than usual, and the runoff was so much later than usual.
Right.
And some of that actually has to do with some of the delay, especially in the runoff, has to do with voting rights for military and overseas voters.
For sure.
And we think that's important, that in order for them to get their ballots and have a chance to get them back, we need more time than we usually allowed. But it does impact the rest of us in terms of how we think about it. It's like I voted twice in May, city elections and primary.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I voted in July in the runoff, and I have to do this again.
I know. You're right, and that's what's going through folks' mind. I want to remind everybody, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Justice for All, the Wyatt Wright Show. Today we're being joined by Dr. Linda Krefting. She's president of the League of Women Voters in Texas. We're talking about access to the ballot box and what this means. Now, Texas has always been a lightning rod. Well, most of the southern states have. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, the reason the Voting Rights Act exists is because of the southern states, and it's the reason we need approval. But we've been a lightning rod for the types of things that we've commonly called Jim Crow laws or poll taxes or things that are impediments to the ballot box. Help me be objective and understand where the argument is that we need better regulation of who exactly is standing in front of us at the polls. What is your understanding about the instances of actual impersonation at the ballot box in Texas these days? Now, not in the 60s, but today.
Almost non-existent.
It's non-existent. So we spent all this money getting these laws in place to do this. And you know, I try not to think that this is motivated by anything other than the best interest of the state. But come on, this sounds like it's agenda driven to try and prevent folks. Well, whatever the party tried to prevent folks from getting there, and I'm having a hard time escaping that conclusion. Is that the one I have to reach?
Well, when you're in power, you have a tendency to try and stay in power. And I think there's been a long history of that. Mm-hmm. So at this point in time in Texas, it happens to be the Republicans who are writing most of the rules.
Got it.
There have been times when it's the Democrats.
Certainly, of course.
The poll tax and whites-only primaries tended to be Democratic issues early on when they were stronger in Texas.
Well, that's true. But, of course, on the other side wasn't the current Republican Party.
We were dealing with
totally different. You're absolutely right. The politics were there and the parties were shifted. But today we've got a corporate gusto behind the conservative movement. Do we not?
There is. Yes, there's a lot of similarities in the laws that have been passed by different states.
Okay.
And there are some prototype laws that are being circulated that states are adopting. And
right.
Texas's fits. I have not read them directly, but those I know who trust lawyers who read them directly tell me that ours ours fits the pattern.
Fits the pattern. So it's sort of easy then for the legislature to say, hey, look, this thing's already written for us. Let's just move down the road. We don't have to waste any time on it. Maybe. Yeah, I'm not asking. You're not sitting in the legislature. But it seems to me that this might be one of the reasons that we can streamline this type of legislation is if it has a national agenda. Wouldn't you think?
There are possibilities for that, certainly, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So now tell me about your organization and their fights in other states. Are your colleagues who are presidents of the other chapters, I suppose you would, I don't know what you'd call them in the other states, are they facing these same sorts of things, or are we just sort of alone on this ship in Texas?
Oh, no, we're not alone on this ship.
Okay. So give us something. What's going on out there?
Well, in Florida, mentioned Florida,
sure.
The league is actively fighting and has had some success in blocking implementation of some of the restrictions on them, including the 48-hour turn-in.
Oh, thank goodness.
Turn that in, that there was, the courts ruled that there was no particular reason why it had to be 48 hours
That's
on that
shocking.
One. In Wisconsin, there is a voter ID law that the state league is fighting as inconsistent with the Wisconsin state constitution.
I see. All right. But it's still in place? Or?
No, they've had it set aside.
Oh, good, good. Okay.
Pennsylvania is still up in the air, but the league has been amongst the groups that have fought the law in Pennsylvania. There may be an injunction yet on that one. South Carolina is still up for grabs, and the league in South Carolina has been involved in that one. Leagues have been involved in other states in trying to oppose and in some cases successfully passage of such laws.
Mm-hmm.
In Minnesota, it's a constitutional amendment.
Okay.
Working against passage of a constitutional amendment on photo ID. So, no, the league is active in all 50 states.
Yeah.
And wherever this comes up, we've been fighting. We've been fighting for voter outreach and for removal of barriers since we were first founded, and we're not going to stop.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing it. And, you know, there are other groups out there who work towards getting folks registered and sort of spreading spreading this idea that, look, take advantage of your franchise and enjoy it and go do that. I know that I can speak for here in Texas. You know, our schools are in just dastardly positions. We've had such slashes to the school budgets, and the state, of course, didn't make the money that they were intending to make with the margin tax and that sort of thing. And it's really been difficult on the schools. But I can tell you that firsthand, I mean, I'm a parent of school-age kid, and I know others who are. We're not getting that type of civic education in our schools. And the only place people are getting it is at home. If they're getting it. And I don't know if that's something that's consistent everywhere, but I thank you for the work you're doing, and certainly the others, for trying to get out there and get folks interested in voting. What is driving me nuts, and I think is driving a lot of our listeners nuts, is that so much attention is being given to trying to do exactly the opposite. I mean, this is not one of those issues that you look at it and say, okay, there's a legitimate difference of opinion where reasonable minds can differ on whether or not there's this issue of voter fraud occurring. I mean, the numbers simply do not support any voter fraud occurring in Texas. And you've said the same thing. So is it going to continue?
Well, let me make a little correction there. There may be some kinds of fraud, but they're not the kinds that photo ID would impact. And they aren't, would correct. You know, showing up with an ID isn't going to prevent the kinds of fraud that there are some concerns about. There's some concerns about fraud with mail-in ballots.
Got it.
And you don't. The photo ID law did not cover
sure.
ballots. So
sure.
there, I don't want to say there's never any fraud, but certainly total incidences of fraud in Texas are very small in number, and they are not the impersonation kind.
Yeah, they're not the kind of where somebody's going in and saying, "Look, I'm John when I'm really Jack."
Yeah,
that's not what's going on. And you know, when you talk about who it's actually affecting, it's affecting the people who don't have those types of ID to begin with, and that perhaps is a part of the most frustrating issue going in here. Now, tell me in our last remaining minute here, tell us about what your plans are between here and Election Day. What's the League of Voters in Texas's plan for getting out this message that people should go vote?
we're doing everything we can to let people know exactly what ID should be required.
Okay.
Anyone who wants to know can find a link to it on our webpage, lwvtexas.org.
Okay.
We are also, and we've always done this, trying to provide information statewide and through our local leagues in 29 communities across Texas on what's on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Which is important.
And we do this in a totally neutral fashion. For contested races, we invite all candidates to submit responses. We print their responses verbatim.
Golly, this is great, noble work.
And for ballot initiatives, we give an explanation and do a pro and con. And this election, ballot initiatives are up for grabs in some localities, but not statewide. And so you can find the state material on our website, lwvtexas.org. And there's another great LWVUS.
All right.
Software system called vote411.org.
Fantastic. We're going to check that out. Dr. Linda Crafting, thank you for joining us today on the Wyatt Wright Show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Dr. Linda Crafting is president of the League of Women Voters in Texas. Now, access to the polls is an American right that we cannot afford to take for granted. Doing so will only allow a modern-day plutocracy to come to power, and we're well on our way there. Fight back and take the power away from the mega corporations who think they can run America and Texas. I'm going to remind everybody the preamble to the United States Constitution refers to people, not corporations. It says, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, etc. It says the people. Get out there and exercise your vote and make it matter. People are losing access to justice every week. Our children deserve better. We're going to have to wrap up this show, but as you go through the week, remember that it was Justice Learned Hand who so famously said, if we're to keep our democracy, there must be one commandment, thou shalt not rash injustice. Have a good day, everybody. Come visit us on the web, WyattWrightShow.com. Like us on Facebook or Twitter, or join us at the iTunes store and subscribe to our podcast. Talk to you next week on Justice for All, the Wyatt Wright Show. Wyatt!